Hello, this is Auntie Bee's Knees with your business report for the week of November 10th. Emergency talks were held last weekend outside of Washington, D.C. to try and get negotiations for a proposed free trade area of the Americas back on track. The Free Trade Agreement of the Americas, or FTAA, is supposed to be signed by the end of the year, taking effect on January 1st, 2005. The agreement would create a hemispheric free trade zone encompassing 34 countries, 800 million people, and $13 trillion worth of goods and services. The deal is one of U.S. President George W. Bush's key economic goals, but negotiations have faltered and fallen behind schedule, largely due to conflicts between the U.S. and Brazil. Since the collapse of world trade talks at the WTO summit in Cancun 2 months ago, chances that the FTAA will be finalized on schedule have become increasingly remote. Negotiations for the FTAA began 9 years ago when Miami hosted the Presidential Summit of the Americas. That summit culminated with an announcement that 34 nations in the Western Hemisphere, every country in North and South America except Cuba, would seal a free trade accord by the start of 2005. The deal would expand on the North American Free Trade Agreement, or NAFTA, signed by Canada, Mexico, and the U.S. in 1992. Critics argue that the FTAA would harm unions, the environment, and democratic rights. As corporations move investment to wherever labor is cheapest, environmental regulations are weakest, and governments are friendliest. Investor state and expropriation provisions would consider federal and local government policies to be trade barriers, allowing corporations to sue governments for profits they might have made if local laws hadn't interfered. Clauses on capital controls would render governments helpless to regulate large-scale speculative currency transactions. Government procurement and investment clauses would force governments to treat multinational giants on the same terms as local businesses. As yet, no country is backed out of negotiations for the FTAA, but sharp differences have emerged over what kind of agreement it should be. All told, there are about 5,000 brackets or disagreements throughout the hundreds of pages of FTAA draft text. Last weekend's talks were called by U.S. Trade Representative Robert Zoellick as a last-ditch effort to reach a compromise with Brazil on some of these contentious issues before official FTAA negotiations take place in Miami next week. The closed-door talks were chaired jointly by Brazil and the U.S. and featured representatives from 14 other countries in the proposed free trade area of the Americas, reported to be Canada, Mexico, El Salvador, Panama, Jamaica, the Dominican Republic, Trinidad and Tobago, Colombia, Uruguay, Peru, Chile, and Argentina. Far from achieving a consensus, the meeting revealed only that the U.S. and Brazil remain far apart in their goals for a proposed FTAA. Brazil is the world's fifth largest nation and among the 10 most powerful economies in the world. Brazil's economy is rooted in agriculture. The nation is a leading exporter of beef, coffee, sugar, and orange juice. At Cancun, Brazil joined India and China to lead a coalition of developing nations demanding that the U.S., Europe, and Japan work faster to eliminate agricultural subsidies and tariffs, as promised by the 2001 Doha Declaration, before trade negotiations proceed on other matters like investment, intellectual property, and services. Brazil is taking this position to the FTAA, arguing that U.S. agricultural subsidies and tariffs are protectionist measures which must be removed before talks can proceed on other areas of trade and investment. The U.S. government subsidizes its agriculture industry to the tune of $19 billion per year. In 2002, U.S. farm subsidies increased by 10%. Agricultural subsidies cause overproduction, falling prices, and the dumping of agricultural exports, making it impossible for farmers in poorer countries to compete with the flood of cheap imports. American and European farm subsidies could cost Brazilian farmers $10 billion in lost exports this year. Under the FTAA, Brazilians fear they would be forced to open their markets to subsidized U.S. crops, as has been the experience of Mexico under NAFTA. Since NAFTA was implemented, many small farmers in Mexico have lost their land and their livelihood due to an influx of subsidized American corn and other products. Brazil's reluctant approach towards FTAA negotiations also stem in part from Canada's experience with NAFTA. Since NAFTA was signed, U.S.-based car companies employing thousands of Canadians have shifted investment and production to the southern states and Mexico, where unions are weaker or non-existent and labor costs are lower. Canadian governments have been sued for implementing policies meant to protect Canada's environment, resources, and cultural production from plunder by U.S. companies. The proposed FTAA might not only damage Brazil's agricultural economy, but threaten emerging electronics and telecommunications industries and undermine the labor-friendly government of left-wing leader Lula da Silva. While Brazil seeks the elimination of U.S. agricultural tariffs and subsidies, the U.S. is hoping that the FTAA will allow headway to be made on issues where progress has been stalled at the WTO, namely in the areas of foreign investment, trade and services, and intellectual property. The U.S. is the most powerful economy in the world and would account for about 80% of GDP in the proposed free trade area of the Americas. Turning the Americas into a regional free trade zone would bolster U.S. corporations against European and Asian rivals. The U.S. wants its banks and insurance companies to enter Latin American markets with fewer rules and less red tape. It wants legal protections for U.S. companies with interests in other countries. It wants to eliminate piracy of Hollywood movies and major label music, and to enforce patents on drugs and biotech products across the hemisphere. But so far, the U.S. has refused to put its farm subsidies on the negotiating table at the FTAA. The U.S. is reluctant to jeopardize its domestic agriculture industry by removing government subsidies to its farmers before an agreement can be reached at the WTO to force similar reductions in Europe and Japan. Florida's sugar and orange juice industries have backed a powerful lobby to keep agricultural tariffs and subsidies out of the FTAA in the belief that Florida farmers would be devastated by the withdrawal of U.S. government support. Instead of responding to Brazil's concerns, U.S. Trade Representative Robert Zoellick has taken up the offensive, warning that the U.S. will make bilateral NAFTA-like accords with countries that can meet its demands, giving those countries preferential access to the U.S. market while won't-do nations like Brazil are left out in the cold. Such bilateral talks are already underway with five Central American countries for a proposed Central American Free Trade Agreement, or CAFTA. Bilateral agreements allow issues tied up in multilateral negotiations at the WTO and FTAA to be dismissed or prioritized as needs dictate, without an international consensus. For example, environmental and labor concerns can be left out of talks, while financial services and intellectual property are given center stage. Bilateral deals also allow close integration of economic and military goals, enabling the U.S. to strong-arm weaker countries into following U.S. foreign policy needs for the sake of potentially beneficial trade. For example, the U.S. began negotiations for a free trade agreement with Australia after that country committed troops to the U.S. war against Iraq. But the U.S. will not offer a similar deal to neighboring New Zealand, which has refused to let American nuclear-powered vessels into its waters. In a speech given last May to the Institute for International Economics, Robert Zoellick announced that countries seeking free trade deals with the U.S. must cooperate with American foreign policy and security goals in order to be eligible. According to Zoellick, selection criteria would also take into account whether a potential free trade partner has been supportive of the U.S. at the WTO and FTAA, and whether the country is willing to negotiate a comprehensive trade agreement that covers all aspects of trade and investment. Zoellick also announced that the U.S. would be exploring the idea of docking trade agreements to allow the U.S. to negotiate a free trade deal with one nation and have other countries in the region sign on to the pact later as a means of expediting trade negotiations. Until last weekend, efforts to reach a compromise between the competing agendas of Brazil and the U.S. at the FTAA had ended with U.S. officials chastising Brazil for being unwilling to engage, while Brazilian officials denounced U.S. threats. After last weekend's meeting, Brazilian Foreign Minister Celso Amorim told reporters that some progress had been made. Quote, "I think we now have a good basis for a successful meeting in Miami," end quote. Under a proposed compromise outlined by Amorim, FTAA members would be allowed to opt out, without penalty, from those parts of the agreement they find objectionable. Some issues would be handled through voluntary plurilateral agreements, incorporating only those countries that want to participate, in a strategy somewhere between U.S. bilateralism and the consensus-based policies of the WTO. According to Amorim, both the U.S. and Brazil are eager to relaunch negotiations at the WTO, since many of the most contentious issues can only be resolved in that forum. Amorim's compromise may not sit well with Bush administration corporate allies, who are eager for an agreement that can provide legal protections for their overseas investments across the hemisphere. And so far, U.S. officials have shied away from commenting directly on the opt-out proposal for the FTAA. But many trade experts and policymakers would agree with Amorim that the only way to forge broad agreements among large numbers of countries is to give some of them the right to back out of certain conditions. With 146 members in the WTO, which requires consensus to reach agreements, concluding a global trade accord has proven especially unwieldy. The thing to remember about each of these bilateral, regional, and multilateral free trade deals is that they are not primarily trade agreements at all, but political deals that use economic policy as a crowbar to crack open markets for serving elite corporate and strategic interests in the U.S. and elsewhere. While the United States and other wealthy countries preach so-called free trade, they shelter their own most politically powerful sectors, such as agriculture and defense, from market forces. While they dump subsidized agricultural products on poorer nations, they withhold the development aid necessary for those nations to diversify economically. While they claim that freer trade is a key policy goal, they tie trade negotiations to policies of political and military domination. Opponents of the FTAA have an opportunity to expose how U.S. trade and foreign policy are two aspects of the same imperialist power grab. Take a stand and join anti-FTAA activists at the upcoming meeting of trade ministers and business leaders in Miami, November 17th to 21st. For more information, visit www.stopftaa.org. Signing off, this is Auntie Bee's Knees, reminding you to put your money where your mouth is and invest ethically.